flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back, folks.
We are blessed, Newell, that they just started serving the gumbo here at the host committee booth at the Montreal Convention Center, and they're having a contest. They're asking people if they want their potato salad in their gumbo or they want rice with their potato salad. Yep. And so far, 9 people have picked the potato salad and 9 people have picked the rice. I brought you one.
You and I got one of each.
Yes, I brought you a cup of each, so you can taste it and you can make your decision on which you think is better. Is it the potato salad or the rice? And we can hear Newell fine. He's just having trouble hearing himself, so Coleman's fixing that right now. There we go.
And the crowd is growing as soon as I brought the gumbo.
Drew Brees sent his agent over here to ask when the gumbo was going to be ready.
I tell you, Drew's smart.
So we expect Drew to come back to get some gumbo anytime now.
Dave, we have Craig Mucklow, the lead odds maker at the Caesars Sportsbook,
wow,
joining us. I've always wanted to know the science a little bit behind this. Craig, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning.
So, Craig, if you would, I've always been very curious as to how and why you guys get real close to hitting it on the mark almost every time.
I wish that was the case. This NFL season, the customers taught us a few lessons, that's for sure. A record number of favorites winning, so it was a great year for customers. So
we should know. This was the first year in a long, long time, though, that the bettors actually did better than did the odds makers, right?
They put me in my place.
It's rare, but it happened.
You were humbled, huh?
Exceptionally, yeah. We'll try and survive next season, but it was a lot of screaming at the TVs when the 15th favorite of the day goes in. But hey, look, that's why people have a bet on sports. It's the fun and the game, and sometimes you win and sometimes you lose, but it's all about being responsible. So congratulations to the customers. I'm very humbled.
Yeah, but to Newell's question, how do you, because most times you guys are very successful in setting the odds, picking the lines, and determining what is most likely to happen. It's not you have some magic beans or you have
or
some,
do you?
Or maybe they do.
Maybe.
How do you go through that entire process of picking all of the lines on all of the games, plus all the prop bets and everything else?
So we have a pretty large team. There's about 170 traders based in Las Vegas. And we'll all have different stats, different ways of coming to numbers. 5 or 6 of us will discuss, you know, opening lines, where we'll be. We'll have differences of opinions, and then we'll accept that I'm correct, and we'll go with my number, and then the customers win.
Yeah, so
it's tough.
And it's changed a lot over the last 10, 15 years, right? I mean, there's
so many different
ways to place a bet. I was broadcasting live from Caesars here in New Orleans not too long ago, and we were right by
the sports book,
but what do you call those little
the kiosk?
The kiosk, thank you. Jeez.
It's been a long week.
Yes. We were right by the kiosk, and a friend of mine was there, And he was like there for like 10 minutes. And I said, how many games did you bet on? He goes, oh, just one. I said, well, how many bets could you possibly do? He goes, Newell, it's like, and he showed me the sheet that was printed out. It was like insanely long. So how many, theoretically, how many bets could you place are
available? It's over 3,000, over 3,000 options on before the game starts on this Super Bowl alone. And then as the game starts, you can bet each drive. What will it be, a run? Will it be a pass, the next play? How will the drive end? A touchdown, a safety, a turnover on downs? So it's ever-changing. I mean, 25 years ago, I was the first trader to trade a game in play live throughout the game, and it's everything what was in your head, and there were no algorithms at the time. And you know, now it's a lot of algorithm-driven things, and it's, you know, it's a great product for the customers now. It's changed the industry.
You know, I think we understand a little bit how when you're setting lines on games, you're looking at past history. You're looking at player performance against the team in that venue, in that city, in those situations. You're looking at injury reports. You're looking at, that all makes sense, that you can compile all this data that could influence who's going to win or lose a game or how many yards someone's going to run or throw or catch or whatever. But when you're setting these crazy prop bets for the Super Bowl, like how many times will they show Taylor Swift on television, or what colors will somebody be wearing, or you know, all these crazy prop bets, that's got to be a completely different process for you and your team than what you normally do.
It's called complete guesswork, and then you
appreciate your honesty.
You have a series of flipping coins over there.
Well, I actually used that as a case study in my dissertation at university, was flipping coins and betting, doubling up on how long you could expect a losing streak on coins.
Your dissertation?
I've kind of done the coin toss down to a T. But you put a number up and then your customers all wage. Usually the first bet will tell you to move the number straight away. And then if somebody keeps betting, you know, different bets for the same selection, you're lowering that number and pushing the others out to try and balance business. But you rely on your customers to tell you where you're right and where you're wrong on that one. And in popularity markets, that's always the case. Like, the customers will decide the market. We'll put a number up and we don't know.
Craig, is there an intuitive nature to this, where your intuition about, you know, all this data that you have swimming in your head, you know, where you just intuitively say this is where this thing is going to head?
Some guys on my team have that absolute different set of eyes where they can see something. They go, do you know that this is not the right number, or this should be a 7, not 9.5, and all sorts of things like that. And then others just rely purely on the data. So there's a mixture, and that usually helps, because you know, you've got the data guys that just look at the numbers, look at the weather, for example, as well. That can affect it. It's not going to affect the Caesar Superdome this weekend, but that has an impact as well. But and then you look at the weather and it goes, okay, well, that impacts the rushing yards as opposed to the passing yards. You lower the passing, you up the rushing. It's different skill sets. But we're all fans of the game. That's the most important. And we watch hours and hours and hours of games, every sport there is.
Well, Craig, we joked that this was the first time in a long time that the bettors did better than the sports books. But you, obviously, to have made it to the lead odds maker for Caesars Sportsbook, must have many, many years of really good success in doing this. And I guess to Newell's question before, is it just something in your gut, or you just have this amazing ability to retain information, to research, to put together statistics and facts and numbers and figures and determine all this information? Because you wouldn't be where you are if you weren't really good at it.
My laptop with all my data is my most prized possession. Don't tell my wife that.
She probably
tons
knows.
Of information. Yeah.
She knows where the money's
made. Also as well. Exactly. She knows where it's spent as well. You're learning off other people as well. So, you know, a set of customers might have a certain angle on a game, and we'll learn that angle and then we'll go get the data. Or, you know, I could just be talking to somebody in the industry and they see the game a different way. A friend of mine many, many years ago used to tell me about, well, teams coming home off multiple road trips, you know, do really bad because they've got to do the housework and everything, they're back to their family. So yeah. I took that and I went through every single team that ever travels, and now I have all that data as well, so I know if a team gets on 2 airplanes, 3 airplanes, 4 cities, and what their impact is for their first home game or their last road game. There's too many data points.
What are some of the craziest data points that you have used throughout your career when setting a line, when determining something that maybe no one else would have thought of to look at, but that you say, I know this will determine the outcome of this game?
About 6 years ago, the San Jose Sharks, the NHL team, every time they came, their first game back after more than 3 games on the road, every game ended 5-3 that year.
Correct. Every score. Game, 5-3.
So we lowered every game, landed 5-3. So that's the puck line. The money lines win, the overs cashed. So like, we would lower the numbers based on that data. And it's a trend, but it's also, you're looking historically as well. Mm-hmm. So every game, I think it was 8 times, it went 5-3 every time. And yeah, there's all kinds of things like that. Yeah.
So there was a lot of chatter about how much would be bet on this game. Here we are. What's today?
Thursday. I'm going to put a sign in front of you what day it is.
I don't know. You're probably experiencing the same thing, Greg. What day is today? Are we about where you guys thought you would be as to the amount of bets that have been made on the Thursday before Super Bowl?
Yeah, we expect 60% of the handle to actually come on game day. So whenever we tell people to go visit the Caesars property, you know, get there early. If you can place your bets on Thursday or Friday or Saturday, do it then, because there will be queues. There are great staff at the book to help you as well if you're a newbie to sports betting. But yeah, the big run of money comes on Sunday. But, you know, we've seen 5 or 6 six-figure bets this week, all for the Eagles. One was on the under 49.5, and we're I literally approved about an hour ago of $300,000 on the Chiefs. So the money's starting to roll in now. But yeah, Sunday's the big day.
Has the line moved at all, or is it still 1.5 Chiefs?
No, it's 1 now. So literally when I left Las Vegas to get to wonderful New Orleans, we were 1.5. I landed and I got a text like, okay, we've took 4 or 5 respective bets. So we moved it to 1, which doesn't help handle because it's the proximity of the spread and the money line doesn't help. Normally you'd right. like a 3 or a 4 point spread. But, you know, look, it's balanced action right now. So we're Eagles fans because of the futures. But yeah, the money. So it'll be a different conversation tomorrow. You know, I'll get back to my hotel. I'll log
49?
In. Look, yes, we moved from 49.5 down to 49.
So your prediction is that the Chiefs win 25-24.
Correct. Yeah. Exactly.
And you can actually bet that on Caesar's app. That'd be a great game if that happens.
So the real question here, Greg, is: are you emotionally attached to any of these teams?
I'm emotionally attached to whoever. Gets as a win, and usually being a Miami
financially
Dolphins
financially attached,
short term, yeah. Short, really short term attachment, right?
I'm fortunate because being a Miami Dolphins fan, I can actually cheer my team on every week because we usually need them. Nobody bets them, so I always need the upset. But yeah, it's the fandom's gone. It's, you know, you're looking at hundreds of thousands of games, different markets. I mean, right now, our biggest, my biggest concern is the same game parlay that customers are betting. And it's Kelsey to score anytime, Xavier Werber to score anytime, AJ Brown and Devontae Smith, which pays 60-1. And we've got like 9,000 customers that bet that.
I've got to ask you, because of the accent, we got to ask, where are you from?
Birmingham, England.
Yeah.
And where is home now?
Yeah. Home is Las Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Yeah.
All right. Where all the action is.
Of course, yeah. That's
they
where.
They have a morning line on whether the sun's coming up the next day.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm in New Orleans this week till Friday, and I'm still adjusting to the humidity, but tremendous city. What a great place. Everybody's so nice.
Yeah. We've been down here on Media Row, Craig, all week, and it's just been a blast. It really has been a lot of fun. Everybody's happy, a lot of excitement. You just feel it. You know, and I guess a lot of fans, you have a lot of experience with Super Bowls. I guess a lot of fans start moving in today, right?
Yeah, I think it's because of the 4-day hotel stay. So, like, people get in now and get out on the Monday. So So, yeah, I mean, it's a great experience. It's my last chance to eat some proper local food tonight because the restaurants will all be full.
So, Craig, I assume you've got to see the rehabilitated Harrah's now into Caesars property. Your thoughts?
I saw it before a few years ago, and I saw it the first time on Wednesday when I landed, and whoever redesigned it deserves a pay rise. They did a tremendous job.
I
mean, the food options there, it's really, really nice, and it's not crushed in like a wallet at the Vegas casinos. It's very spacious, and I mean, I'm stuck for choice on the food options, and I like my food.
What's the over-under on your gaining 5 to 10 pounds from eating all of the great food here in New Orleans while you're here?
Oh, the over's already cashed. I mean, I've done the shrimp pasta combo with rice. Yeah, that's cashed.
Oh, man, what a great interview. And the line is moving, folks. It's down to 1 point. If it keeps moving, hell, we may have a pick-em before kickoff Sunday in the Superdome.
You think that's possible?
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, it would either take a significant injury or a seven-figure bet to move us right now. But, right. You know, things happen in practice. So, you know, we'll keep on top of it. But it would take a really big bet to get to pick.
Who's that mattress guy in Houston that puts these...
My nemesis.
Your nemesis?
Yeah, he puts the Well,
we have an Astros jersey on our wall in our trading office when he won $30 million off us when the Astros won the World Series. And he had he was very kind to sign us a jersey. That's all we got out of his $30 million profit.
That's but not it's on a the good ROI reminder. There, man.
No. Yeah, exactly. And it reminds us every day, get your numbers right.
Yeah. Well, Craig, enjoy your visit here in New Orleans. We're glad you're here with us for the Super Bowl and for all the fun and festivities. If you need to push that over a little more on the weight gain, come on down and see us. We're at the host committee booth, and they got gumbo. They're serving up for free to everyone who stops by here. And you get to choose if you want it over potato salad or rice. Which way would you go?
Oh, it has to be rice.
Yeah. All right. Well, right now, oddly, and it may be because it's crab boil potato salad, they took the potatoes out of the crawfish pot and made potato salad out of it, and they're putting the gumbo over it. But right now, of the people who have chosen, 39 have gotten it over potato salad, and 24 have gotten it over rice so far.
Had we been thinking, we could have got Craig to put a line on this thing.
Yeah, we should have thought of that.
I'll have to try both first, so I'll be down in 5 minutes and try them.
Well, I put come on down and we'll give you, because I put two bowls in front of Newell. When we come back, folks, we're going to ask Newell. He's tried them both, which one he preferred. I'm going to eat them during the break as well. Craig, enjoy your time here in the Crescent City. Come see us down here at the host committee booth if you get time. We'd love to meet you in person.
Thank you so much, sir. Have a great
week. Thank you.
And good luck.
And you have a great day.
All right. When we come back, we're going to find out which gumbo. Newell just, he turned away. He's like, I'm done with my interview. I need another more gumbo. He's shoving gumbo in his face. So we're going to find out which Newell preferred after this, and we'll continue the conversation as we're having fun here on Radio Row for the record-tying 11th New Orleans Super Bowl here at the host committee booth in the Morial.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Convention Center.
All right, Newell, you just tasted the Louisiana gumbo over potato salad and the Louisiana gumbo over rice. Survey says?
Well, you know what's different about this potato salad? You pointed it out, and I picked up on it right away, is that these potatoes were cooked in crawfish boil.
Yes.
So they're a little spicy. Mm-hmm. I really like that combination of the gumbo and that spicy potato salad. So I vote potato salad.
Yeah, I did too. And I think I may have to start doing that. We do it after, actually after a crawfish boil, we always do that. We save the bread potatoes that are left, and we make potato salad out of them.
I mean,
I've never put my gumbo.
I don't know why I've never done it. I mean, it just makes sense, right?
Well, that's why you put extra potatoes in the boil,
right,
so you have some left over.
Exactly. And we always do. You always do.
Yes.
Right? And sausage and corn and, you know,
mushrooms.
And everything else,
oh,
mushrooms. I love mushrooms in the boil as well. And obviously everyone here in this venue loves the gumbo because there's been a line since they brought it out.
All right, so we started out the week, they had Louisiana boiled shrimp. Then we went to Louisiana fried catfish. What was it yesterday, Coleman?
Yesterday was the pinto something.
Yeah, pimento
cheese thing, but what was the
in the mayo chuck brownies?
Yeah, what was the main?
I don't know. Catfish.
Oh, yes, it was the catfish. Yeah, I skipped a day. Yeah. It was shrimp, and then anyway, they've had a whole lot of food here every day, and today it's the gumbo, and the line is significantly longer than it's been.
So we are joined by
David Njoku. Wow. He is a tight end with the Cleveland Browns.
What's up, y'all?
Yeah, just finished his second season in Cleveland. How you doing?
Second season.
That's what this says.
No, eighth season.
Eighth season.
Yeah, second. What the heck? No, yeah. Eighth.
Eighth season.
Yeah, so I got to ask you, how do you get away? First off, no one gets away going around shirtless and with flip-flops on. I'm jealous.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I just beat myself, man. I don't know. I mean, until someone tells me not to, I'm going to do it.
No, but if you look like that, you could
no one would want to look at me. I mean, that's for certain, but nonetheless.
So it's technically the off-season, but obviously to maintain. You're still working out single day?
I got to.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. Even during your trip to New Orleans for the Super Bowl.
No, I'm not going to work out these next 2 days, but when I get back, I'm back to work. Yeah.
How's your experience been in our great city thus far?
I love New Orleans, man. The gumbo's fire. The potato salad's fire. The people here are fire. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can't complain.
Absolutely. This is my first time being in Media Row in broadcasting here.
So really?
It's really a unique experience for me. I'm sure you've seen it many, many times, obviously, over your career.
8 years.
These things seem to get bigger almost every year,
for
right?
For sure. Every year it gets bigger. It gets louder. It gets more energy. It's awesome.
Yeah. You'll be here for the game?
No. Leaving tomorrow.
You're leaving tomorrow?
You know, that we keep hearing that from a lot of the people, a lot of the celebrities, the players.
The first Super Bowl that I go to is the one that I'm playing in. I haven't been one since.
So then why? Why come to New Orleans in the days leading up to the Super Bowl?
For my appearances, you know, you see all the smiling faces, see all the, like, you know, be around good energy.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Build that brand, right?
Yeah, yeah, got to.
Yeah. What kind of season did you have?
Okay. I only played, 10 games, so. Not anywhere near of what I think I'm capable of doing, but there's always room for improvement. You live and learn.
Right.
On to the next chapter.
All right. You're 8 years, and we are on live radio.
Oh, crap. Sorry. Damn it. My bad.
Eight years in the league. How, you said you only got to get into 10 games, but still, the fact that you've lasted 8 years, when the average is 2, you're well above that. You got to be feeling great about that, but you look like you've got plenty left in the tank.
Yeah, for sure. I feel better than I felt after my third year in the NFL. So, yeah, I think I'm on the right track. I feel like I'm now hitting my prime, so I'm excited.
I'm a big Miami Hurricane fan.
Oh, yeah,
I've had a lot of friends, kids go there, and they really enjoyed it.
Woo!
beautiful campus. What was your time like at University of Miami?
It was awesome. I was only there for like 2.5 years, though, because I got in end of July and I left in December. So 2.5 years, it was fun while it lasted, and I had to, you know, make some money.
Yeah.
And what's that been like in the NFL? Because we hear about that sometimes, you know, obviously you're living the dream.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of challenges, a lot of difficulties. You have everybody you've ever met and some people you've never met who suddenly want to be your best friend.
For sure.
What's it been like living that dream? And is it the dream you thought it would be?
It was definitely an experience. I mean, mind you, I got drafted at 20 years old, so I was very young.
Oh, you were young.
Yeah. I didn't know much about, you know, anything. And, yeah, I had to just learn through experience, you know, trials and error, and I think I'm on the right track. So, God is good.
Drew Brees walked through here a few minutes ago.
What the hell?
Yeah, he's coming over here if you want to wait, because he wants some gumbo.
Yeah. I got to see him.
But
he
started the financial training for rookie NFL players.
Yeah.
He instituted, hey, we're going to have every rookie go through just some informational, it's school, really, to tell you, okay, the average career is only 2 years. Don't spend every penny you make the first year because it may not last.
Right.
That's got to be, and you said trial and error at first. That's tough to get a guy to convince them, though.
Because
suddenly you got all the money in the world.
I still need training.
Yeah, well. and we don't have NFL players.
My wife needs a lot of training.
Newell said that. That was Newell Norman, not Dave Cohen.
Right.
No, but seriously.
No, for sure. It's good to be, you know, it's good to learn, especially from past players, you know, of what to do, what not to do. And it's up to us to do that, do it in the right way. So, yeah.
I could tell that you're having a lot of fun.
I'm always having fun,
even after
dog.
8 years.
Yeah,
you almost
have to do that.
To manage the pressure of this game, to manage all the other aspects of
the game,
right?
I love pressure, but no, I just love having fun. You know, I mean, this is my guy Thurston next to me. He knows me since college. I always just love having fun, so you're going to see me just screaming for no reason. That's just me.
I love it.
Well, man, we're glad that you're here and, you know, that you stopped by to say hello.
For sure.
Anything else you want to share with the people of New Orleans?
Go Browns, baby. And that gumbo is to die for.
Did you have it over potato salad or over rice?
Potato salad.
And that was your choice? Mine, too.
I didn't choose. They just gave it me, and I ate it.
All right, well, go get some of the rice.
Go get the rice.
And then let us know which one you like.
Let's go, baby. Woo, woo, woo.
All right, David, thank you for joining us, man. We appreciate it here on WWL. All right, we'll be back after this. Things get more wild as the week wears on.
Well, I'm
going
to tell you what. I don't want him blocking down on me.
No. And I don't want to have to try to tackle him. My goodness.
That would be I'd get pulverized.
Yeah, but sure would like that money. All right. I'm Dave Cohen. He's Newell Norman. We're having fun here on Media Row at the New Orleans Host Committee booth for the Super Bowl in New Orleans on this. It's only Thursday on WWL. It was going to get crazier as we got closer to Super Bowl Sunday here at the Media Center at the Host Committee booth, but it is getting wild now.
It's heating up, dude.
Yeah.
Hey, look who that is. T-Bob Hebert is here with us.
Yes! Back, dude! Back on WWL. Hell yes, man.
Been what, 8 years?
I think it has been about 8 years now. Because I would have had my first kid like right after this. That's kind of how I remember it. But, man, I have such positive memories. Obviously, y'all gave me an opportunity I didn't deserve at the time. And it was so much fun.
That's because of who your dad is.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Exactly. No, look, man, I hold no illusions, okay? I am a Nepo baby, but it's like Gandalf says, all we can do is decide to do what we can with the time that is given us.
Exactly.
And so that, and the opportunity. So that is what I've tried to do. No, man. But
and
I,
you've
God,
done
dude,
quite a bit.
I just, man, we had so much fun. I feel like I grew up in those WWL halls, run around New Orleans, mid-20s, no kids. Dave's the old salty vet in there in the newsroom just grinding out updates. We used to do like that, like Angela Hill roundtable show during the midday for a while there, I think for like the first hour or something. And then Newell, we just missed each other, man. But it's been so cool to get to see like Tim and Jordan and Tommy Tucker. I remember I was doing the, because it was like 3WL, we were doing the morning show at the time. And so me and Tommy would always be in the bathroom together at the same time during the updates. And he would always be so complimentary from the stall over. You know? Just, like, and normally I'm not a talk in the bathroom guy.
Tommy is.
Yes, yes, yes.
I am not either.
I'm not either, but Tommy used to be so nice that I'd be like, okay, you know what, man? Yeah, thank you, man. That's very kind, dude.
T-Bob,
the most nervous 2 minutes of my life is crosstalk with Tommy Tucker every morning.
It's just a frenetic energy. Just a frenetic energy.
Well, you talked about how you remember when you were at WWL based on, hey, Drew Brees, ladies and gentlemen, coming to get his gumbo.
Dude,
all right.
Let's go.
And he's waiting in line. Look at that. Drew is waiting in line for gumbo.
Absolutely. Good man, dude. A man of integrity and character right there, boys.
But you said your first was born right after you left. You've had a couple more since then.
Yeah, man. 6'4" and 2 years old now. I got two girls. I got a
You're in
boy.
The zone defense, baby.
Yep. We just transitioned to that. And then I realized, everybody knows when it's their time. And so shout out to my guy, Dr. Cockrell. He gave me my vasectomy. That's his actual name, by the way, dude. Dr. Cockrell, shout out.
So wait, the youngest is the boy?
Yes.
All right, so you had the boy, and then you get snipped.
Yeah. And honestly, I think it was boy, girl, didn't matter. After three, I was, like I said, some people can handle more. That is awesome. I know now that you live.
That's one of your strikes. You know your limits, right?
Even though
I'm now going through that thing that I guess everybody does, where it's like, you know, I miss some things about, like, the little baby, right? Like, the little baby cuddles when they're, like, really tiny.
Yes.
And
yeah.
they just, like,
he's
are
two
really
now.
Yeah, he's two now. And now he's a freaking psychopath. So how about this? The other day we're at the Children's Museum in New Orleans. And
at City Park, the new one.
And it's beautiful, right? They got the little restaurant, the Acorn Cafe. It's, like, overhangs the water.
Yeah.
And my dad said, all the kids, all the grandkids can pick something from the toy store. Classic grandpa stuff. Very good grandpa. And he wanted this like pirate themed train set. It was so awesome, man. It's got like a Jolly Roger on all this stuff. And so we buy it, and I'm so excited, more excited than he is probably. And we're eating, and he grabs the engine, the main piece, and just chucks it in the water. And I'm like, oh, of course, dude. Of freaking course. And I can tell the cannon's kind of pissed because he's like, what the hell?
So like, do you really call your dad the cannon?
No. That's just like a radio thing.
Oh, okay.
But then I'm like, okay, I'm going to see if I can get it out. So I go and I'm like, hey, does anybody have a net? Or do they get me a net? Next thing I know, I go underneath there, jump a couple fences. This is right after the snow. It's still freezing.
I asked them first.
Right. But I go underneath. Now, we might get into some breaking the law. Maybe you can tell me, Noel, because I end up going underneath the overhang, and I can't see it. I'm like, I think I got to go deeper. I'm like, okay, I got to get in the water. So I take my shoes and socks off. I'm still like, I can't get deep enough. So the next thing you know, I have like a Bill Cosby sweater on up top. But I take my pants off. I hike my underwear up to my butt cheeks. Here I am at the Children's Museum waiting in the water. Creamy, thick thighs exposed to the elements, almost waist deep, trying to
floss
find
in the buttocks.
Yeah, trying to find a freaking train.
Why didn't you just go buy another one?
It sunk because it was kind of expensive, which is the whole reason.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a new venue at the Children's Museum.
So if you were crossing the bridge of the Children's Museum and you saw a pale, fat, sweatered man wandering pantless in the water, I was not doing anything nefarious.
Did you find it?
No, it sunk, dude. But he also threw his apple juice in the water, and I fished that out.
Because
we're
good
a big no-littering family,
because you're an eco-friendly family.
Yes, dude. We do not abide by any littering in this household.
Talking with T-Bob Hebert, and Drew Brees is here. He's just got a couple of cups of gumbo. I think he's trying both the rice and the potato salad. So we'll find out which he prefers.
How do y'all take your gumbo? Because growing up, potato salad, I never knew that was an option. But then probably about 10 years ago, it was introduced to me, and so now I like to do a base of rice, then the gumbo, and then dump in the potato salad to kind of cool it off. Add a little creamy element to it. And look, guys, if Drew can come on right now, just, you know.
Yeah. He's standing literally 3 feet away from you.
So let me ask you, you played football your entire childhood, your in adulthood.
Yeah, I guess I ended up with like 12 or 13 years. You know, yeah.
If he didn't snap that ball, man.
What's it like after it's done? I mean, I spent 40 years in law enforcement, and life's been different.
So that was like, see, I didn't spend that long. So I think the longer you spend in anything, that exit becomes more rough. But that's kind of how I ended up doing this because, to be completely honest, I did not give school the appropriate effort that I should have when I was there. Right? I did like general studies.
I resemble that remark.
And so I get cut by the Rams and I'm like, I don't really know anything but football. You know, like that's been my main focus the last few years. And I was like, okay, I was pretty good at media. Like they sent me to media days and everything. And then I was talking to just because I knew a bunch of people from doing media all the years. And so the local ESPN station got in touch with Derek Panamsky over there. They gave me like a little job kind of doing on air, selling ads. And then that's when the Nepo opportunity came up. And y'all called up. We're doing 3WL. And we got the morning show, me and KG. But it was maybe not as hard for me because I was engaged at the time, and I needed money, so I had to work. I feel like it's sometimes harder maybe where if, like, you're getting out of the NFL, you have all the money, and so there's no, like, survival, like, right. thing pressing on you, right? So, like, if you've already made it, like, very comfortable, then it's like, okay, well, what my passion is. And I am passionate about this, and I love my job, but it was very much like, oh, no, I need, like, I got a wedding coming, like, I need to be able to pay for things, so I have to get a job.
You said how great it was to see some of us that you broadcast with when you got started. You've also seen some of your former teammates around here,
yeah,
huh?
Man, I just got to sit down with Pat Peterson over at our booth.
Patrick Peterson was really cool, in the house.
Freaking legend. I saw Michael Brockers, dude. And then how about my guy Cam Hayward, the Steelers D-tackle,
yeah,
Ironhead
absolutely.
Son, of course,
mm-hmm.
right? So remember, Ironhead is part of that odd triumvirate. Morton Anderson, my dad, and Ironhead all went from the Saints to the Falcons. So me and Cam grew up playing Little League together. This man was 6'1", 180 at 10 years old.
Wow, my goodness.
And we didn't play in a weight league. We played in an age league.
In an age
so,
league.
So it was just, if you were 10, you were in.
You were
and
in.
He was 6'1", 180, dude. And then so we were boys
old.
Growing up. Then I tried to get him coming to LSU with me. He ended up going to Ohio State. Then I saw him at the national championship because he was a starter as a freshman, went in 07 when we played them. And so it's just such a small world to see it kind of all like converge back here. It's been really, really, it's been really memorable. It's been a really cool week.
Well, T-Bob, we're so glad you dropped by and
yeah,
see
boy,
us. Good
Dave,
to see you, man.
So good seeing you, man. Newell, it's been great.
I mean,
you, man.
You've been to several of these. This is huge.
So I've never been to the Super Bowl, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because 12 would have been the last time I was here, right? And I started in 13. Yeah. At L. So this is my
and
first.
And you didn't go to Miami?
Row. No. I didn't go to no.
To watch Drew Brees right there?
No. I was in college. Yeah, I was trying to think, like, what was I doing? Yeah, no. I watched in the Lake Boat Prey townhome, drinking some yeah. Natty Light, baby.
All right. T-Bobs, he's got to run. We've got to run.
Later,
we'll be
guys.
Right back.
Thank you so much.
We'll find out which gumbo
Good
Drew Brees
you,
preferred. Well, yeah, we'll see which gumbo Drew Brees preferred after this on WWL.
All right, Drew Brees, as you can imagine, is being swarmed by opportunities and requests. But I did find out, Newell, he tried both the potato salad and the rice with his gumbo. He liked them both, but preferred the rice.
So what's the vote tally? Where does it stand right now?
72 people have gotten it with potato salad. 50 have gotten it with rice so far here at the host committee booth.
So potato salad jumped out to a quick lead and has held on to that lead.
It has. Rice is closing the gap percentage-wise, so we'll see. I think maybe people are just more intrigued by it who haven't had their gumbo over potato salad before. But most of them who are trying it are really, really
I wasn't it. Intrigued. I thought it just tasted better.
Yeah.
I may want to go another round just to make sure that I'd made the
well,
right choice.
Well, they have etouffee, you know? Too. Let's try the etouffee over potato salad.
Okay.
All right, we'll do that. We'll do that and let you know when we come back if we like the etouffee over the potato salad and how much weight we've gained here on WWL.
Stay with us.